When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets, in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to a new episode of Her with Amina Brown. And I'm excited to have my husband and producer back in the living room with us so that we can get into a few more road stories.
Okay.
Shenanigans.
Oh, that's okay. My type of carrying on. You call me in here for the right reason.
Okay, so we picked out three or four moments that we can't decide if they're funny, if they're weird, or if they are unfortunate, or some combination of. Mm. I want to start with a gig that we did in Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, which definitely fills all three of those buckets.
You know, that's a good point, actually. It was weird. It was funny. It was unfortunate. Mm. And we were working with an organization that had a moment that quite a few white evangelical organizations had over the years where their leadership had said some things publicly that were causing a lot of problems. And specifically because a person that was in leadership had said some things regarding race publicly that were very offensive.
It was my people.
Very offensive. So someone in leadership had said something offensive, and in a different podcast episode, we may talk to you all about some of the other behind the scenes things that went on there. But for the sake of this being a road story,
that's for the meetings and conversations episode.
Yeah, because yikes. Because
there was meetings and there was conversations.
Oh, man, there were so many meetings and so many conversations. But suffice it to say, we had an opportunity to decide whether or not we were going to still do the gig. And for various sundry reasons at the time, we decided to do the gig. And I remember there was another really big name gospel artist who was also brought in to do this gig because the artist was someone that the leadership of the organization knew. They felt that because this artist was very well known and was also Black, and Birmingham being a city that also has a lot of Black folks, that there would be a way the event could kind of bring people together in the midst of the fact that they had some leadership that were making some very terrible statements in public. Okay.
It was part try to do something helpful, part PR move.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Large
that.
Part PR move.
Mm-hmm. And little
sprinkle, let's try to do something helpful.
Definitely sprinkle. I thank you for saying sprinkle, because I was about to say just a small amount, but I feel sprinkle is more of the accuracy.
Just enough.
It's definitely more of the accuracy. And I do want to say before we get into the what is the funny part, because I guess this is the part we're telling you that is the unfortunate part of it, right? Is, you know, as you go on in your life and you learn the different things that you stand for, right? And I think for us, it's learning not just the things we stand against, but the things we stand for. Mm-hmm. And I think also, you know, when you're growing up in church settings and also have spent a lot of the time of your youth, like your 20s and different things in church settings, there's just a whole lot of things that you let skate by.
Mm-hmm. You don't ask no questions.
That as you get older, you realize these are things that you would not let skate by.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were asking Matt and Amina of today, if this exact situation were to happen all over again, I'm pretty sure that when those people came to us and said, you know, we give you the option to do the gig or not, we probably would have been like, no, thank you.
I don't even want
my name anywhere near any of this. No, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But truthfully, at the time, I think our minds were along the lines of some other artists that appeared at the same event, you know, thinking like, you know, this terrible moment has happened. How can we help people come together?
Yeah.
How can we help people continue, you know, doing their healing work, mm-hmm. et cetera? And I don't judge us for having made that choice at all. But I think we have a little more wisdom behind us now to know that there are times that you are doing things to, air quotes, help people come together. But sometimes people in leadership use that language because they don't want to be held accountable for the things they say and do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Also have learned that money spends way too fast.
Boy.
And all money ain't good money.
Mm-mm.
So just because somebody's paying you money, which you've talked about a lot on this podcast,
yeah.
that being an independent artist, being a young person doing something, when someone says, I will pay you money to do this thing, you're like, really? You would pay me money? Like, I've been doing this thing for free for money? And then, you know, pay some bills money. Oh, wow. But once that money's gone, then you have time to look back at the thing you were part of and be like, oh, there's got to be another way to make money. And that's the truth.
Is yeah. that
there's always another way to make money.
Yeah, big facts. So that's that. Hopefully, at some other point, we will come back and tell y'all some of those.
I also do think along the lines of what you were talking about of looking back at it differently, that there is a time most of us who grew up going to family events,
yeah,
we were sitting at the kids' table. And so the grown-ups were having the grown-up conversations. We were at the kids' table.
Right.
And for those of us who came up in the church, especially as artists and musicians, there's a lot of good that comes from that because immediately you've got a crowd in front of you and you've got instruments and you've got programming and you've got all of these things to figure out that formulates into you flash forward to you're standing on some large stage. Well, that's the journey that started on that really tiny thing. But in the church family setting, when you're the musician, you're kind of sitting at the kids' table. You know what I mean? And so you don't really ask a lot of questions. Sometimes you're not even aware of what's going on. Nowadays, it's different now than what it used to be.
Right.
Used to be, there was churches I played at where, you know, you were on the stage the whole time because you never knew when that pastor was going to kick into the You never knew when it's going to come for you a couple of times. So you might as well just stay there. Now you can kind of go out there, play your music, and then go sit. And you don't even know what they're talking about out there.
Flash
forward to, you know, some of these large settings that we're performing in, like this one, where you're in an arena and everyone has their own green room, dressing room. There's a common area where there's food that is for everyone. They're serving dinner, lunch, there's snacks, there's a hangout spot. But for the most part, if you want to be, you can be totally unaware of what's going on.
Yeah.
And so you show up, you do your thing, and you don't know what's going on. Well, this guy happened to say some things on Facebook, and they were highly insensitive, highly unhelpful. And it's one of those moments where I started going, oh, just because you have a big platform doesn't mean that you want to be helpful.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden, we find ourselves not necessarily sitting at the grown-up table in that we get to decide what this man is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like he handled it the right way.
Sure.
But I feel like for us, we learned, oh, there's a different, there's a me and you grown-up table where we can go, oh, what are we going to do? How to, and, you know, we sat down, ate lunch and dinner with all kinds of people, helped us kind of navigate it. And like you said, now we probably would even navigate it differently. But at the time, we made the right decision based off of what was in front of us to do.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Made the best decision we could in that moment. Yo, oof, y'all. That's, we would really need a different type of series other than road stories to tell y'all all of the things that go on behind the scenes in this type of situation. But suffice it to say,
I just talked to my therapist about this very scenario.
Man.
And this was years ago that it still got some things tangled up in me, man.
Yeah, it was such a moment, man. Y'all, I feel like what you said there is really important, especially when you're looking back on your choices and decisions. And sometimes in a way too, I think for us, for those of us who are performing artists, I think there's also the element of, like, to the point of what you were saying about who are considered to be the kids, who are considered to be the people who have power in the situation, and who are considered to be the people who don't. And a lot of times as artists, you are sometimes made to feel like you are in a situation where you don't have a lot of power. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have to concede to the people who do. And in some situations, I think that is true. But I also think we had to learn over the years to accept the power we do have. We mm-hmm. can't control how the organizations are going to be run. We can't control the choices, the terrible choices, especially in white evangelicalism, that many people in leadership made.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have control over all that, but we get to have control over what we get to stand with
mm-hmm.
or stand beside or stand for, how we want to represent ourselves,
mm-hmm.
whose name we want our names to be next to, and mm-hmm. all of those things. And even aside from the really the really ignorant story we trying to tell y'all, you know, we made some subversive choices in how we both performed our art that particular night, you know, because there were some things related to the organization and how the leadership handled that even in our efforts to try to, like, bring people together and make people feel welcome, we still wanted to make it known, like, we don't rock with all this, you know? So I can kind of look back on us now and see, like, the beginnings of us sort of taking our power back. But I think that's mm-hmm. really important to consider when you're in a situation where you feel like you're at the kids' table. You may not be. You may actually have more power than you think, you know, to be able to use your voice and use your art and use whatever you have access to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this brings me to, this moment has come now in Birmingham. We are in an arena. I mean, y'all, this arena probably seats somewhere between 14 and 18,000 people. Mm-hmm. This is a huge facility here. And Matt is the house DJ for the event, and I am emceeing. And mm-hmm. then we had a couple of times in the show that we performed together, like in between the other acts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Matt is DJing as people are, like, coming into the arena. So you probably had anywhere from an hour to 90 minutes of a set.
Yeah, especially when things are running behind, then it gets put, you know, you got to keep going. And also there was a broadcast element, if I remember correctly. This was one of those events where there was a broadcast element. So you've got the crowd in front of you.
Yeah.
That you are, you know, you're somewhat playing background music, but my job was to have the people on 10. By the time the first artist hit the stage. So it's me and a crowd for an hour plus, and it's my job to get you in, but also get you moving. So back then I like to do a lot of call and response with people. I yell something or I sing something and let the crowd sing it. And then with the broadcast element, someone would have a headset. They're talking with the people in where they were calling the show, and they would let me know when I was addressing the broadcast crowd, and there'd be certain cameras set up that you'd have to go to. And so there were a lot of those elements that you were juggling on top of what, you know, the thing, some of the stories that we'll share. Another fun thing about whenever you're DJing in a large venue like this and you're doing call and response type things with a crowd, most times in this case, I'm in the middle of the arena, but by the time the sound gets to the audience and then bounces back to me, it's on a whole different beat than what I'm on. So I learned the hard way, you got to get some good headphones and hug them tight, because if not, there is no way, you know, when you're DJing, you're blending all these records together, right, and beat matching. And then if I'm like, everybody say, oh, where it should have just been right after,
Right,
but
right,
I've got to
right,
stay
right.
on beat. And man, it was a lot to learn. It was a lot to juggle on top of the fact that there was a lot we had to juggle.
Yeah, for sure. I'm trying to set the scene for y'all to understand that this organization, we were booked for 6 events with them over a 2-year period. So by the time this Birmingham event came, we probably had done about half of the events. They had this stage set up for Matt in the center of the arena. So a lot of these arenas were kind of set up like hockey arenas, where you had the arena seating, but then you had the large kind of bottom of the arena where typically would have been the ice and all, but instead it was just the flooring, and that was all standing room only. So people could come down actually to the floor of the arena to see the acts up close if they wanted to. So Matt is set up in the center of that. Now, we learned the hard way through the first couple of events that people want to go up to Matt and talk to him during his DJ set. And I'm talking about, he's on a setup where you can't just literally like walk up to him. You got to walk down to the floor. You got to walk upstairs because he was on an elevated stage in the center of the arena. So you have to walk up the stairs to get to him. And I would typically like be backstage working on something else or talking to people or whatever. And I realized this event in particular, I was going to have to stay out there during his DJ set to keep people from walking up there to talk to him. You have no idea what manner of things people could be saying. Sometimes Man. People have requests. Sometimes uh-huh. people are there and they don't even go to church stuff. Mm-hmm. So they're requesting stuff from Matt that like, he can't play at this thing.
Not this thing. Catch me next weekend. I got you.
And then sometimes people will come up with very obscure requests for things.
Thoughts, that he's philosophies. Like,
I don't know what that's about. And then sometimes just him DJing brought up memories from them. A lot of back in my day, I used to DJ stories that mm-hmm. people want to tell to Matt.
I get that a lot.
So in Birmingham, I decided to just stand out there. I think they put security after a couple of dates.
I do think I remember that they put like some stanchions around, and then there was security at some places, because some places the crowd, I remember, got really close. Mm-hmm. And also, if I remember correctly, they didn't have an actual like DJ booth or... I've had to set up my DJ gear in some weird spots, but if I remember correctly, it was like one of those big road cases.
Yep, that's right.
But it wasn't the road case. That was being used for something else. They had taken the lid, the kind of flimsy lid from the road case, sat it on its side and put some plywood on top.
I think that's
and
right.
And I think like taped it all together. So I remember a couple cities where like it was getting pretty rowdy down there, which is, that's how I like to do it. And so they're down there with me. I'm with them going, but I'm looking. I'm like, oh, I think I'm about to lose it all. We are at the edge right now. And one of the cities, Toronto, maybe a big breakdance circle popped up. Remember, because Toronto has a really cool hip hop scene, and you looked out like, oh, cool, you know. But that as the circle kept getting bigger and bigger, and so I think they started adding the stanchions, the ropes around,
yeah,
and yeah, some security.
Yeah, I want to tell y'all that it depended on the city if that security was reliable.
Mm-hmm. If they were paying attention,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some cities people were very vigilant about making sure you don't walk right up.
Mm-hmm.
Other people didn't really understand what's the purpose of them being security. So I think sometimes they thought like, oh, they must want this here so people don't walk away with his equipment.
Mm-hmm.
We need security there so people will stop walking up the steps and talking to the DJ while the DJ is DJing. Okay, so
it's a pretty funny phenomenon.
So I decided on this Birmingham date that I was going to stay out there and just watch. So there was security right by the stage where Matt was. And I was also on the floor, but I was standing a little further away. And I see this older white woman. She had got to be like close to the age of both of our grandmothers, probably like in her 70s and her 80s. Silver hair. I see her walking very slowly towards the stage. And I'm like, I'm going to go ahead and circumvent this. So I walk over to her and I'm like, hey, is there something I can help you with? And she's like, I got to talk to him right now.
Mm.
And I was like, okay. I said, why don't you tell me what you were going to tell him? And I'll make sure the message gets to him. Well, I've been upstairs and I've been praying because, you know, a group of us are here praying. And I said, mm-hmm. And she said, and I just feel that he's playing this music and this music is going to wake up all the demons in Birmingham.
Mm.
Now, I want y'all to know that since this time, my comedic brain is like, it's turned on at a level that is very different from the level it was on then. Because if me today had that conversation, I would have been like, honey, you think him playing this music is what's going to bring back all the demons in Birmingham, honey? Some of the demons are here alive, girl. What you mean?
That demon of racism was real comfortable. He's walking around drinking a soda.
I'm like, that's the demons is awake out here. I don't know what you mean. Y'all, I literally had to, yes, ma'am, her, all the way back to her seat. I said, well, you know what? Since y'all were already praying, I think that's the best thing for you to do. You just keep on praying for him and just pray for everybody at your seat, though. At your seat. She said, okay, but all the demons in Birmingham, at your seat. Yes, ma'am. Directly at your seat. Y'all, yikes.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. Symbiotica.com.
It is so interesting, like you said, because people come up to me to talk to me, and sometimes they don't all the way have it together what they want to talk to me, even if they're requesting a song. And so it still happens to me now. I don't work nearly as much like in the faith-based event side, which has its own kind of interesting thing to it, because in a faith-based environment, I am there to keep the energy up, get people engaged and motivated. But the main thing that people love about music is familiarity.
Right.
Oh, that's my song. Oh, that's my, you can't utilize that in a faith-based environment because of what we deem secular versus sure. what we deem sacred sure. and however you draw those lines. And this lady clearly had a line drawn, but.
And this lady probably didn't know that a lot of what Matt was spinning was air quotes, Christian music yeah. by Christian
I'm
artists.
Remixing whoever the Christian artist of that day is. Also using a lot of just instrumental music. A lot of it was music that I was making myself and just, you know, working it out as we were on the road. And so it's always interesting when someone approaches me. I can always tell when someone's walking up to me and they've got kind of this sheepish look on their face, like, hey, I don't want to bother you, but I'm going to bother you.
Oh, yeah.
And now what happens to me a lot is people will say, do you take song requests? And my immediate response is, depends on what it is.
If you got a bad request, then no.
No. And I've got my ways of handling that, working around that. But in an environment like that was interesting because I would have someone approach me and be like, hey, is this Christian music? And it would Yikes. Be absolutely instrumental.
Yikes.
And I learned the best answer was just to say, yeah. It would happen at the merch table. I think we've talked about this. I had an all instrumental CD that I was selling at the time. And I would have people ask me, is it Christian music? And I would try to be like, well, but it's instrumental. There's no words on it. It's all just instrument. Yeah, but is it Christian? And so I learned that, oh, okay. You just need to know, is this safe? Yes. So when people were coming up to me asking me, is this music Christian? I would just say yes, because I realize what you're asking me, is this safe for the whole family? The answer is yes. You're not going to hear the things that you didn't show up here to hear. I get it. I DJ in nightlife entertainment where they show up and people will walk up to me. I've been at a wedding and somebody walked up to me and said, hey, what's your nastiest song? I'm like, whose cousin is this?
Who and invited it's not your this? Wedding.
Who invited this guy?
It's not even your wedding.
To the wedding. So when something like this happens and someone wants to walk up to you and have a philosophical or a theological conversation, again, remember, I'm in a room to where when I take my headphones off, I've now lost the beat of where I am.
Right.
And it's impossible for me to do my thing, what I've been brought here to do. Somebody saw me doing a thing and said, yes, you come here, do this. And it's like, if you'll just hang out by the end, everything ain't for everybody. I get it. But if you hang out, you'll probably have a good time. You might see that some of the things you're worried about. Okay. But there is that element in those environments of, we just got to make sure. We got to make sure. And I get it, because you didn't show up for all that. I get it. I understand there's supply and demand. There's customer service. And so I got you. You know, my corporate gigs, when they bring me in, it's because they know that I'm not going to play something that's going to get them in trouble.
Right. Sure.
I've done gigs for very large corporations where they are the number one soda company in America. Well, at this gig, you're not allowed to play anybody who's ever had a deal with the number two soda company in this country. Well, that's a lot of people, but they entrust me with that.
Right, right.
And by the end, I got you. But so it is interesting that if someone were to walk up to me and have a conversation, and now what do I do now? Do I stop what I'm doing?
Right.
Like what is about to change? Like someone brought me here. I'm doing what I was brought here to do.
What I was hired to do, what I'm being paid to do, please.
And another thing is pretty funny that I enjoy about my relationship with Amina is that it's great when having someone else there to see things mm-hmm. and experience things that you're not like, okay, I'm not crazy.
Right.
That just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. And then also because of me and you, there's little things that we grab along the way.
Yeah.
And it's just a phrase that now lives in our house.
Oh, for sure.
So something's going to happen. Hey, careful. You're going to wake up all the demons in Birmingham.
Like, girl, what you mean?
You wilding a little bit. You might wake up them demons.
Boy, so, I tell you.
I can't even tell you how many years ago that was, but we have said that phrase so many times. And you know what? I'm not even mad at that lady. She added to our little, she had so much joy and laughter in this house. So
I also love it for both of us that we both have environments where we no longer have to be safe for the whole family.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty, that's a pretty hands tying sort of experience for you as an artist, especially as a grown, like we are grown people. We mm-hmm. are two people in our 40s. We have a lot of life that we've experienced, good, yeah. bad, ugly, indifferent, hilarious, whatever it is. And to be in a lot of Christian spaces where art was only valuable if either A, it fit into the worship category,
mm-hmm.
and B, if it got too cool or too, air quotes, urban, take with that what you will.
Mm-hmm.
But if it started getting into those categories, that's for the youth.
Yeah, that's the teenagers.
But either way, it should be something that if you're 3 years old or you're 300, it's for everybody. And the truth is, there really isn't a lot of things in life. I mean, like soap and water apply to you 300 to 300.
Honestly, but that's why DJing weddings is so difficult.
Yeah.
Because I had a wedding where someone's maybe 4 year old stood by the turntables the whole time and just kept saying, Old Town Road. Old Town Road. It didn't matter how many times I played Old Town. He wanted to get where I'm going to take. And this little kid, that's all he wanted to hear. And I've got to make you, your young cousin, dance. I used to ask couples, do you want an all clean
right
DJ set for your dance floor segment? Or do you want, because some people would want the dirty versions.
Right.
I've stopped offering that because you're not going to have me up there playing bleeps and bloops.
Okay, while your auntie your walking up grandma with her hands on her hips like, why looking are you at playing me disappointed. That in here?
Nah. No.
Speaking of disappointed, one of my most hilarious stories of someone's feelings about Matt's DJ sets, we were doing a youth event this time. I can't remember the location, actually. That's kind of blurred in me now.
Mm-hmm.
But we were doing a youth event.
Some city somewhere.
But it was a big enough event. It had a hashtag.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like studying the feed. We were like reading the hashtag feed
mm-hmm.
as the event was going on. And at some point, an adult woman who was there as a chaperone with a group of kids at whatever this youth event was, decided that she needed to tweet her feelings about whatever the music was that she felt you were spinning.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember whatever her comment was to you, the last part of it was hashtag disappointed. Y'all, the amount of times that Matt and I still say it to each other, wow, went to the store and they were out of such and such. Psst, hashtag disappointed.
I think it was something like, I played just a little bit of Teach Me How to Dougie or one of those songs that's like, everybody do this dance. And it was, if I remember correctly, it was a real short segment, but that right there is why I put in a rule for myself that when I am performing anywhere, do not look at social media.
No.
Don't look at it immediately after. Mm-hmm. Maybe look at it before, but not during. Mm-hmm. Nope. I've got to where Instagram, Twitter, any of those, none of them send me notifications to my phone.
Same.
At all.
Same.
I turn them off because in these environments, you would have, you know, like the hashtag disappointment. Now I'm supposed to, like, there's a place that you have to take yourself to be able to get on stage in front of. This was another, if I remember, pretty large.
Yeah,
we were doing a lot
of,
at the time, we were doing a lot of really large room festival style events. They were large events. And so the place you got to take yourself, and now out of how many thousands of people are in front of me, just knowing this one person is so upset, they went on Twitter and hashtag disappointed me.
She hashtag disappointed us.
I mean, how do you pick yourself up? How do you, like, because there's a certain level of confidence that it takes to approach a crowd and do something that makes them feel something.
Yeah.
And give that energy back to you. And then it's a give and take between you and the audience. So it didn't matter how many people were, whenever I said, make some noise. And they're like, it didn't matter. Cause this lady was hashtag disappointed and my day was wrecked.
Boy.
There was times where people would go in my, they would go through my Instagram feed and there would be, who knows, some picture that I put some caption with, and they would Jesus juke me somewhere. No, Jesus, the only solid rock and roll of you got me. You win. You out argue me. I'm embarrassed. You know what? I'm shutting it down. I'm not doing this no more. You know what? Like, what do you want from me?
Which we talked about this a little bit on the previous episode. I can't remember if it was here or Patreon, but we talked about previously just even a conversation. I think this might've been a bonus episode. We were talking about me in talks with a guy who led one of the bigger name Christian bands at the time. And he was very upset about, you know, ideas about secular music and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing that I guess we had to learn about ourselves, though, is for us, it's like good music is good music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, I mean, there's a lot of music that people consider air quotes Christian that even though people who are Christian may agree with the message, I don't think based on baseline and groove and songwriting that it's good music. It's not inspiring to me musically, right? So I do think it's a weird, like, fragmentation in your brain almost when we would be in these environments, like, playing songs that are actually good, like it's good music, it's good musicianship,
mm-hmm.
it's good songwriting, the mm-hmm. music, but people are hashtag disappointed because it doesn't have messaging on it
mm-hmm.
that they agree with,
mm-hmm.
or it doesn't say it in the way they're used to it being said. And so I think there are a lot of those elements too, where you would be like, but you're hashtag disappointed. And that was Earth, Wind & Fire. Why are you disappointed?
I think I remember also from that Birmingham gig specifically, because mm-hmm. there was a DJ friend that mm-hmm. lived in Birmingham that mm-hmm. we had met at previous thing here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And we're like, hey, we're in Birmingham. So she took us to her record store that she liked to shop at.
Yeah.
And I bought some vinyl while we were there.
Oh, that's right.
And for a sound check that night, I went in and during sound check, I'm spending like, you know, I think it was some Earth, Wind & Fire, some Sly and the Family Stone, some James Brown. You know, I was picking up a lot of that. And I remember the sound guy's coming to me, hey, are you doing something different? Something in the stereo field? Something different? I was like, oh, I'm spinning vinyl. He goes, oh, that makes sense. It was good music.
I forgot about that. Oh, that was one of my favorite things about the road was going to record stores. We went to so many good ones. We'll circle back to that on another episode too. Okay, in closing for this episode, I want to bring up one more phrase that always is kind of a weird, funny, unfortunate, and that is the phrase, we have such a young team. I just can't tell y'all the amount of churches. This is a very church specific thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear it as much from organizations.
Mm-hmm. A lot of college ministry.
But a lot of churches, especially churches that could be like mega churches that had a younger pastor who was maybe in his early 40s or he was in his 30s or mm-hmm. something. You know, it was always this type of church or the type of church that in your city would tell you that it's doing church differently. It was that type of church that we would get there and they would be like, you know, they give us the tour of the facility and they'd be like, we have such a young team. And whenever they said it to us, they were very proud.
Isn't it cool?
So proud.
Uh-huh.
I want to tell y'all that whenever we heard that, we knew that something in the gig was going to go terribly wrong.
Okay.
It either meant that the creative was going to be great.
Yeah.
But when it came time to get the check, no one knew where it was mm-hmm. because they have such a young team. No one knows how to do accounting or accounts payable. Sometimes they would say, we have such a young team. That meant it was going to be terribly unorganized.
Mm-hmm.
That there was going to be no one there to actually make sure the ideas got completed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they would say, we have a young team, and that would mean that it was going to be too many things we were going to be asked to do.
Oh, yeah.
At one event.
They about to make it count.
Yeah, they were going to be like, oh my gosh, we're so excited to have you guys. Thank you so much. So instead of just performing the one time, we actually all were in a really great brainstorm. And we were thinking that since we're going to have morning devotional every morning at 6:30, we were thinking poetry and DJing is a great way to start that. And so we're thinking maybe like for 3 days, you guys could just like open devotional at 6:30. And then we have our lunch session in the cafeteria. And these students really need motivation. And so we were thinking lunch would be also a great time for you guys to share. And then we have a video series that we were hoping you guys could come and do. And we set up a set that totally looks like a porch turned into a basketball court. And we were hoping you guys could also do that. Also, our theme is Jesus is the bread of life. And we were wanting to do like a mini cooking show.
Oh my!
And we
gosh.
Were hoping to see maybe you guys could also like bake bread with us and like maybe like some fish. Oh, loaves. No, that's a totally good idea. And we're
while
like,
you're cooking up
what?
A beat live on stage.
We're like, what are y'all talking about? You are not paying us enough money,
mm-hmm.
number one, for all of these ideas.
I'm not that eager.
You know, I want to really bring up what you said earlier is when you hear that, when you hear the phrase, we have such a young team, it means the people at the kids' table have somehow been left in charge. And
and a lot of times where the issue would come up would be in housing of where you are going to sleep. Those part of the details that
yikes.
Don't involve lights, camera, action.
Mm-mm.
Those are the details that more than likely is going to be like, because when I was 20, I slept on a lot of couches.
Listen, the mattress I was on in my 20s was a hand-me-down from somewhere. So I do want to tell y'all, when you are like high school, college age, it's some things that you would be willing to accept.
It felt fun. It was an adventure.
You'll be like, oh my gosh, this place doesn't have any blinds. All the windows are just open. Let's have a sleepover. Like, you don't think about that. You get to be grown. You have concerns.
Yeah.
You have concerns. You're like, I didn't travel all the way here to sleep on a couch, to sleep on a bed that was made for children.
Yeah.
We are also two people. Matt is over 6 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm almost 6 feet tall. So we can't really be playing no games out here.
Feet hanging over
your
little mattress.
So maybe don't have a young team. maybe try having something intergenerational.
Mm.
Somebody there is going to know about accounts payable. Somebody there is going to know what a good mattress feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody there is going to make sure there's food to meet the dietary restrictions. Just we need a mix.
At least make sure there's blinds on the window.
Just blinds on the window. Such a simple
a shower request. Curtain. How many times have we stayed somewhere?
I swear for God,
no blinds, no shower mm-hmm. curtain, mm-hmm.
nothing.
Just
and they were like, that's okay. See you guys in the morning. What do you think I'm doing? What do you mean?
Because I'm going to shower. So you going to get a show.
And okay, because I'm like, if that's the show y'all wanted, you know, me and Matt could start our OnlyFans. But we didn't come out here. We didn't come out here to such and such camp in the middle of Kentucky or whatever to start our OnlyFans. Mm. That's not the thing. Anyways, y'all, thanks for joining us for the weird, the funny, and the unfortunate. We got some more real stories for y'all, so we'll see y'all soon. is produced by Matt Owen for Soul Graffiti Productions as a part of the Seneca Women Podcast Network in partnership with iHeartRadio. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Hey there, parents and teachers. Are you tired of feeling like every day is a battle of wills with your kids? Let me tell you about something that changed the game. Love and Logic. Love and Logic isn't just another parenting or teaching strategy. It's a mindset shift that empowers you to raise responsible, respectful kids while keeping your sanity intact. With Love and Logic, you'll learn practical techniques to set limits with empathy, give your kids the tools they need to make smart choices, and build relationships based on mutual respect and understanding. Love and Logic stands behind their methods with a one-year money-back guarantee. Try it out risk-free. If it doesn't change your life, we'll buy it back. Plus, you can get 10% off with code IHEART10. So if you're ready to say goodbye to power struggles and hello to peaceful, loving relationships with your kids, it's time to give Love and Logic a try. Visit their website or call today. Your sanity will thank you. Love and Logic, because parenting and teaching should be a joy, not a chore. Visit loveandlogic.com.